Cup kicks off in June. Billions will turn their attention to games spread across the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. It's an experience Roger Bennett likens to a solar eclipse, except the Earth is completely engulfed not by darkness, but by soccer. I spoke with him recently about his new book, We Are the World Cup, a personal history of the world's greatest sporting event. Roger Bennett, welcome back to the NewsHour.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
So, Roger, the subtitle of this book makes the case, A Personal History of the World's Greatest Sporting Event. Do you have a favorite World Cup game, a favorite memory?
I have so many. It's why I wrote a book about them. Look, the World Cup, which happens every 4 years, is the spine of my life, not just my life, but millions of human beings across the planet. It's a magical, and the book, I hope, is a magical telling of the power of the men's tournament. Which I've come to realize is like a solar eclipse that engulfs the entire planet for its duration. And it's what we're in store for this summer when it comes to the United States, Canada, and Mexico in just over 100 days' time.
And you have watched American soccer culture grow in the 3 decades since you came to the U.S. How have you seen American fandom change in that time?
It's incredible. I moved here right before the 1994 Men's World Cup, which was meant to turn America overnight into a football-loving nation. America then was like space to Captain Kirk, the final frontier. Still the biggest World Cup of all time in terms of attendance, but it was like a circus that came and went. And tournament to tournament, the audience has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. Also, the internet. That's allowed Americans to feel as close to the game as if they lived in Manchester, Liverpool, or Madrid. There's now a massive young audience. The Economist just said, Jeff, that football, soccer, is the third most popular sport in the United States. It's just taken over from baseball. So this 2026 Men's World Cup will finish off what 94 was meant to do and make America a true football-loving nation like the rest of the world.
And one through line in your book is that the World Cup isn't immune from geopolitics. You write that football at the end of the day is just a mirror to the societies that surround it. It tells you things. When you look back at recent tournaments, what patterns stand out?
You know, it's the joy of the World Cup, the depth. I think Walt Whitman, who would have been a football fan were he alive today, would say the thing that makes it contain multitudes is that in a World Cup, when two teams take the field, their nation's histories, their nation's politics, their nation's cultures take the field alongside them. Honestly, that's what gives the tournament the unparalleled emotional weight, the power, the storytelling. It's what makes it the most profound when, you know, two Balkans teams who've warred take the field against each other, when Senegal play France, the former colonizer, when England play Germany, when England played pretty well anybody. You know, there's so many depths to the emotions that have been experienced. And ultimately that is what makes the memory so searing and profound for me and for millions across the planet.
And of course, this year, there are some major off-field storylines. You have the acting director of ICE saying that ICE will be a key part of security at the U.S. matches this summer. We all saw what happened in Mexico recently with the cartel violence there. Guadalajara, which saw some of the worst unrest, is scheduled to host qualifiers as early as this month in March. So is there any chance, any realistic chance, that could change the schedule or the locations of where some of these games are played?
What I can say is that every single modern World Cup, 2010 South Africa, the drumbeat going in was doomsday. The crime, the carjacking, you know, every fan who was going, it was feared that they would be, become instant victims just by walking the streets. It was the most deliriously joyful World Cup there's ever been. 2014 in Brazil, I was there the summer before. There were riots for social and economic unrest all over the country, focused on the football stadia. They wanted education, they wanted social services, not football. But what happens is, once the ball is kicked, the second Lionel Messi takes the field, the rational and the doomsday falls off. And the emotional kicks in and it becomes doomsday, sayers nil, cognitive dissonance one. And I believe, I hope, I pray that's what will happen this summer.
How's the US team looking?
Oh, yeah, we love a dream team in the United States. The men's team has for so long been a dream on team. It's the story of my lifetime, watching Americans fall in love with football. Our women are perpetual world champions, our men. I mean, this is amazing. We put a man on the moon. We invented the cronut, gifted it to the world. We have won one knockout game in World Cup history, which is an unfathomable, painful reality to me. We don't know how good we are because we're hosts. We've not had to qualify. I can say we've got the most talented player for player roster we've ever been able to draw on in terms of individual experience and how they perform as a collective. Please God, they'll make our nation proud.
If 2026 is someone's first World Cup, as 1978 was yours, what do you hope they feel? What do you hope they take away from the experience?
The World Cup is like no other sporting event. The sense of global connectivity when a ball has been kicked in our world of chaos is such a precious currency. So you will see Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo take the field for the last time at a World Cup. You will see in American streets in Kansas, off the field, as joyous as on it, you will see 50,000 Dutch men and women clad in orange marching down the boulevard, screaming to the links, to the wrecks as they bounce to the stadium. You're going to feel passion. You're going to see a world of connectivity. And I hope, like the rest of the planet, you will make some of the most joyful, most meaningful cross-generational memories that you'll carry with you forever.
The book is We Are the World Cup. Roger Bennett, no relation. Always great to speak with you.
Jeff Bennett, you're my cousin. You don't have to be ashamed of it.